will call us to order to our budget work session for community life program. Welcome to you guys.
Hi.
As we have done the last couple of years, we'll start with revenues and talk for those. We have a couple of questions from the expense side. And so with that, I'm on page 45.
All right.
My first question is local government payments. We have budgeted this year 126. So we've only brought in 14,876. Talk me through when those come on.
That gets billed in kind of chunks. So I believe that
there's one chunk that should be coming, I would guess, within the next week or two.
Yeah, so it comes in pieces. So as we bill for it. And as you can see from our history, we've had more in the past and met kind of where we're headed.
Nothing has changed in this program.
Not really. And it appears to me after the initial flurry of response to the mental health redesign of people wanting to pull folks back to their home counties or to do this and that, we've somewhat stabilized. Now, this number may end up being impacted some because I'm not sure how the region stuff will work later. But for this year, I think that it's.
Yes. You feel comfortable with 126, and what I'm hearing is even realistically a little bit off of 126. If you look at our 4-year average, it's up to 106.
Right. Yeah, and the reason that it's come down is that we've really made a concerted effort to make sure that if there were people from Story County that wanted to be back here.
Right.
That as we had openings, we've worked with, case management.
But last year, when we had 126 budget, we brought in 141.
Yep.
So my first question was, has something changed, and is that why we've only got 14,000 in so far this year? What I'm hearing is, no, we don't think anything's changed, but regionalization will impact it. As we look at that, is the 126 the right revenue to budget, or is it more like 130, 140?
I would feel more comfortable with the 126 because I'm still not certain how the other counties that we have, and I have, for instance, two Linn County people, I believe, right now, isn't it, two, living in the RCFs, and that's where primarily a lot of these dollars come from. And we know the circumstance that they're in, so I don't know what they may end up doing, but I wouldn't want to go more than that.
Okay. Then I'll leave it at the 126, and you've helped me with that. Next line down is other state grants.
And that you had re-estimated. My understanding is 1.4 was what you had been re-estimating for this whole fiscal year, and then you had the budget being in is 1.1134. So I put it at 1.4 mainly for discussion because my understanding is that was one of those lines that 1.4 was what we did. Am I right, Ron?
I thought that we... I'm trying to remember. For this year, for the re-estimate, we were confident with the 1.4. So I'm looking at the middle section here, the 1...
So you're comfortable with 1.4?
Okay. Yeah. It may indeed be a little bit more, Lisa. I mean, it's looking... It could be.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that it could actually be higher than that for this year. I would not want to go any higher than what I budgeted there for next year.
1.8
is
where.
1.8 is what we think will be, where we think we will be. Now, one of the things that we need to, you know, I talked about readjusting our rates. We have to be really careful about how we do that because Medicaid certainly won't accept from us the fact that county funding has changed as the basis for changing those rates. It has to be tied back to people and needs and or who's doing the supervision and things like that. So we just can't carte blanche, you know, pop things up to a...
clearly with everything that's been happening, not only around the state, but here in Story County with some of our service providers, we need to make sure that we've got all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed in every one of our cost calculations.
Yeah. We're really trying to go back and take a good look at that aspect in particular, because we did, you know, look at those and say, well, this is what we should get, and that's right. But we don't need to be in a duking it out match.
Well, yeah, there is there, but for the grace of God, we're for the blessings.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. You're comfortable with that. You've got a good, solid estimate. No change at all in the client care. We're only at 38% of that revenue realized for this FY. Again, I'm counting on you guys to just talk to me a little bit about how that stuff comes in and why I shouldn't be expecting to see 50% at this point. And so just the comfort level that, yeah, that really is 190 for this year.
And it ties back in again to how we bill.
Okay.
And I think that what you'll see next year, one of our goals is to be able to speed up somehow our QA process, because now what's happening is that we have people read every note that gets billed, like up here where the $1.8 million is, to make sure that what we're billing matches, and it puts us a good month, if not longer, out. So the goal is to be able to read those faster in a different sort of a way and be able to bill more fluidly instead of chunkily, if that's a word.
And part of this money is also client Social Security checks and how they come in.
Okay. But if we go back over the last 5 years, it's always been more than 190. So help me, is 190 the right number there, or is it?
Hope that it's the right number. The reason that we kept it where we did, and it's always a guessing game, Rick, is that, like we've talked before, the client participation, what the client has to pay, gets tied back to their Social Security payments. And a lot of the people that we're serving that are coming into some of those settings now, and it'll be even more, I think, in the future, are people who don't qualify for that. So this money is actually coming from their Social Security and a lot of the people that we're bringing into the system. So we know these folks already, that they're there. That's a lock. The ones coming in, I'm not so confident. I shouldn't be conservative on it like we were with this. I'm confident that we should be conservative because we get people who come in and don't have that. I'd hate to bank on people coming in with their Social Security already
and I'm
done.
You know, it just looks to me like in FY12, we were conservative with the 190, knowing that it was 244 the year before that, and even in a tough year, it was still over the 190 that came in. So I just don't know if that's not.
But I think now with our clientele that we have, there's a lot that do not have Social Security. A lot more now that do not
county
have Social Security.
Okay.
And if they get a payback situation, that's something
we don't get to see. That.
Okay, so the 190 is where you think it needs to be based on that. That's all I had on revenues. You guys have anything? Lisa, do you have anything?
No.
All right. To the expense line item. Wayne, go ahead.
I was just going to say, as we traditionally do, you know, we always still look to save pennies here and there. And while several of your narratives, which was very helpful, indicated, you know, not a whole lot of change and so forth, and I think the narrative was very helpful, but I think when we go through that, looking at prior expenditures, we're still probably going to want to see if there can be some adjustments in a couple of these areas. So you've expected that from years past, so it won't be any different. and I'd underlined a couple of things, and then I read your narrative, and then I said, well, but still, you know, give or take here or there. Okay. So
philosophy that we tried to apply to this was budgeting as if it's business as usual, and that the state that we can trust that they're really...
That 1.1 is really coming, but now we hear the governor putting forward his proposal, and I say proposal loosely, that has nothing for next year. Now, I've said all the way through, we have as we sit here today, we have been told that we can expect equalization to make us up to that 47-28. And so I think we have to put together a plan that reflects that. And I want to commend you, because it looks to me like you guys have taken a lot of the tough decisions that you had to make this year and incorporated them into this budget, but still trying to make sure that our services that maybe we've been holding off on, we're still able to do those for the clients. But it still gives us the flexibility that if shock of all shock, the state doesn't come through with what to this point they've told us they're going to come through with, we know where we're going and what we're doing to get it done. So I went through this really, really appreciative of where you've come down. But I think we just need to state, and this is more for the public than anybody else, this budget is based on the state fulfilling its $1.1 million pledge.
And we know, as we've known in years past, that should we get dealt the old maid hand again and no one to pass off our card to, we'll have to make more. Part and parcel to it. But I just wanted to say that going in, that we did keep some of the cuts in, but we also put forth what we really hoped to be able to do. So
I said earlier today when we had Deb here and we were talking about the mental health portion in the community services budget, it feels a lot like standing on shifting sand. I am not able to get comfortable standing on this. I know I about sent Paul into a coma with some of the conversations we were having, Deb and I, in this morning's meeting. And I feel very similar about this. It almost, to me, feels like, you know what? You guys have put together a good budget here. We don't know if it's based in reality. We're not going to know if it's based in reality until well after we finalize our budget. And then we're going to come back and I don't think it's reasonable to think we're going to get any more than the equalization of to get us to 47-28. So I think this is a solid budget. And Lisa, I just ask you, this does balance our mental health budget for next year, right? What's proposed here, if the 47-28 right. comes through, because I think that's all we can do.
Right.
And then I go through and I say, you know, Wayne, you know that I yeah. love as much as anybody yeah. going through and saying, gosh, can we save $50
yeah, I
here?
Know. I know.
I view it as pointless in this budget because we're going to have those conversations based on ultimately what the state tells us. And so I don't want to cut this off or anything, but at the same time, that's what I feel, Gayla.
We went into it somewhat with the same trying to throw a dart in a windstorm. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. So, but
this is not one of those type of budgets where you can have option A, option B at this point because of the still the.
But option A or B might.
There's
be.
No option A. We don't know either one.
We don't. Yeah. We don't. And so, like I said, we tried to just put it together with as much keeping us whole as to where we planned last time to be prior to. The shift that the state made, and knowing again that we just don't know. So, talking under the cone of silence or whatever, like you know, we're going to just pretend that this is
the best we can do right now.
Yeah,
because we honestly don't know anything. Well, I think we know that we've got the $3,066,575.
We
know that.
We know that one. We know that number.
Yep. I think that I believe, and I'd ask my counterparts, I'm not willing to explore anything to go over that, as I know some counties have in the past. So we have that. We have everything the state's told us would be equalization up to the $47.28. That's all we have.
What's our publication date?
Huh?
Publication date for the budget, that's when?
Well, I have to send it late February, February 20-something.
Yeah.
And you can't lower it after that, so.
Can't lower it.
You can't raise your request, right?
Which is the other reason that you come forward with this, because this is best case scenario. This is the state does what they say they're going to do. This is where we'll be. The reality is, it probably is not going to be that good, and hopefully it's not going to be zero kind of bad. But even when we get past the poll, if they do to us again what they did last year, which I feel like it was near the end of May before we knew what was happening, even if they do that, we'll be working off of this budget and just saying, okay, where are we going? And, you know, my assumption would be we would make a lot of the same decisions we made this year in terms of what we don't do.
Well, not disagreeing with you there, but as we go down through it, you know, there are just a couple of areas, and just if you could just talk me through a little bit, I go down to your vehicle fuel maintenance, third from the bottom on 47. With the new vehicles that we got, increasing our fleet, have we had enough to this obviously? And part of this is having to do with the question about the maintenance contract that we have with the City of Ames. We shouldn't have as many of the vehicles needing, other than basic oil changes and so forth, I would think, wouldn't we?
For the new vehicles, that's the case. And when you look at the narrative, I talked with Paul Hinderacher about this, and he actually suggested we increase it more, but I put it down to the 90. He's very... Their shop rate went up.
Right.
And they haven't had big jumps in that, so we're experiencing a bit of a jump in their shop rate. The biggest wild card he feels in all of this is going to be the cost of gasoline. And then a rough calculation of how many miles we actually run. He didn't feel that we had enough budgeted if we were to keep where we were at to be able to afford the gas. And they try to lock into contracts with them that secure the rate. I think it was $2.50 or something like that before per gallon. And that's all up for grabs right now. So they're in the negotiating piece for that. And he said there's no way, and they're not going to be able to get the locks that they had previously.
Right.
So it's gas, and well, then a bit of the pop in the shop rate.
To me, just the fact that you're already at 59% in this fiscal year tells me a lot, because we've been operating those new vehicles in this fiscal year, and I would imagine, at least when I looked at it, I said the huge brunt of that is in gas costs.
Right.
It is.
Wayne, what else?
Well, while we're talking about that, is there... We've been with them for years as far as the maintenance contract. Is it worth us exploring to see if there are any other options that are cheaper costs as far as shop rates?
When you compare these shop rates to the shop rates at a regular garage, these are still...
I want to sign my car up for this.
No,
if I got shop rates at $59.50 and gas at $2.50 a gallon?
Dealership is probably $100 an hour.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Yeah.
And the trick is, and maybe, you know, since I'm taking a step out, and at least interim wise and hopefully longer term wise, Ron will be taking over. Maybe he's a car wizard and I really don't know that. But
that
happened. Horse and buggy. And why I've appreciated this relationship so much is that we have a problem, they look at it, and they tell us if we should fix it, if it makes sense or not. But they don't have any...
In a game.
Yeah, they don't have any reason to mess around with us. because it's like taking care of their own fleet. They get X amount of dollars for it regardless of what they do. And
do we have agreement?
You have a 2080. Mm-hmm. And it has been working really, really well for us. And it takes that guessing game out of our hands, because none of us are trained to know vehicles.
Sure. Right. Okay.
I can kick the tire.
Yeah.
Change the oil.
But it is. It's a good rate for that, even though it's gone up a skosh.
Can I ask about reestimating overtime for this year? Staffing the way it is, and the trend right now is that you're only going to spend probably $75,000-$80,000. I mean, it's $10,000, but $10,000 helps.
Yep.
If we get a better handle on the costs for this year, that will also help our overall picture.
I'm okay with adjusting that a bit, Lisa. I mean,
is the 37.9 a true 50% estimation?
Yeah, because that goes along with the payroll.
So
there's no anticipating or anything along with that.
Now we start all the holidays, and there's when we start paying overtime.
But we're done. We're done with the holidays now.
Yeah, you're going to have.
This
does not include January. It only includes December.
Okay.
Shoot through December 30th, and you've got the four holidays that we just had, so they're going to be reflected in the January payrolls.
So is that in here, Lisa?
That's not in here.
Oh, okay. I thought that it was.
Mm-mm. But it's still, I think...
We have two more holidays this year.
We run pretty good.
At the winter coming?
I would say, I just want to take it down to, reestimated at 80, which is 10,000 less. But it's more than double of what it is now, what we've paid out now.
Now, looking back, though, we used 85.
Staff number. I mean, your staff numbers are down.
Staff numbers are down, aren't you?
But none of those people that it's down with are people who are not overtime.
Okay.
Yes.
Those were all salary.
Your
salaries
are all going to
sit down. Okay, we can leave it there, but let it be noted that I think it's not going to be.
I actually viewed it in the opposite direction. I said since staff numbers are down, overtime necessarily is going to be up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I may just be seeing it wrong, but that's the reason I went through that one and I said,
we are not able to utilize our PRNs like we have in the past either.
That
so that will have a little bit of an impact on what's coming in the next 6 months, because we have had to take, we're going to have to look at the hours. They're filling three full-time positions because now we're not taking the PRNs and letting them work the number of hours they want to work. We are holding them to, under 30 a week.
Is that effective now?
It is effective now. They have made that change, and they're going to fill those. Hopefully by filling the three full-time positions, we won't have that much overtime, but it will cause the regular staff to probably, they'll have to pull from the regular staff to cover those hours when people call in sick and,
Do you have anything else?
No, the only other things were just more informational, and her narratives pretty much kind of covered that, and I just didn't know if there was any just other areas that you just want us to just be aware of as we, contemplate moving through not only this year, but 2014 budget.
Bailey, anything you want to point out on there?
I'm thinking hopefully with the maintenance and the things that we've gotten done, we're able to hold the line on that with what Al had submitted for a part of the budget with that. That's always, our best guess, because you don't know what's going to happen, but it's anticipating any...
Well, the idea was we were paying ahead on some of that.
Exactly. And so that's what I'm really hoping ends up being the case, but that represents some decent savings, like in the group homes.
I have one concern that I kind of like to mention.
It always made me a little bit nervous, our audit compliance refunds, the $3,000. If we ever should get in the situation, hopefully we won't, with Medicaid where they're wanting to pay back, that $3,000 won't.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows that.
Well, yeah, that has served as a placeholder, right, all the way through. And yeah, let's just don't ever get in a position where they want to.
We hope not.
Yeah.
Anything from the IT side that you want to talk about in this one?
Yeah. There were three things we starred.
123? Yeah, we'll have it for you.
We'll talk it through.
Okay.
Flip enhancements, you wanted to, she wanted to keep 5,000 in there, and you had some questions about it. I asterisk did. The asset keeper and the laptops for expansion.
The asset keeper program is relatively inexpensive, and what that will help us do, I hope, is to keep track of our capital assets that we have just started to work with our audit preparer people, Ryan Gibbons, on how to depreciate those and assimilate those into the budget. And they thought it would be more effective for us, maybe less painful for us, if we were to keep that within the same type of program that they use. But it's, I don't believe that it's a terribly expensive item.
$400.
Yep.
This is something you haven't used in the past, or you?
Correct. We just want to get up and going with it. And clip enhancements, I think that that's realistic to put that in. Just based on previous experience with as you roll along and trying to make this work from the remote sites in, and we still have not gotten accomplished. When I say remote sites, I'm talking about the staffed sites, the apartments and things. We finally kind of have that working okay. We still don't have the ability to remotely log in from home or from any place else into that program, which was part of this. So we know that there's still more stuff that needs to be addressed with that. The laptops, I put those in there with the idea of expansion, and should our, because of the different, the possibility and the waiting list that we have, if we're not able to assimilate them through openings that, through just the process of moving other people on and out of the program, we're not able to assimilate them into existing spots, we have planned for some of the expansion for some of the people who are on the waiting list. That would require new sites, and to have them be able to do their documentation, what we would need would be laptops. If the state deals us a really PU hand, that expansion is off, and then that would be off as well, because that goes hand in hand with that expansion piece. So that's where I linked those. That is.
It helps.
That helped answer the question.
So when you, just for clarity, when you talk about expansion, you're talking about expansion of clients that are being served, increased numbers. Okay.
For people who are moving, they're already in our system because we're, and again, I'm looking ahead,
right,
too, of thinking that event, you know, we'll be able to take new people into the system. But the only
really being awful hopeful. Everything I'm hearing about regionalization, redesign is status quo, that they're not anticipating any money being available for any new clients.
Any new county-funded clients. People who are Medicaid, and some of this expansion will be tied to Medicaid, will be tied to habilitation or ID waiver, then that's a mandate. We don't have the opportunity. We would only be able to cite our capacity
rationale,
don't have the ability to serve you, not because you're not eligible for the service, et cetera. That puts a little different spin on it. Now, right now, because some of the people who were, we just didn't have the resources or the capacity, because it had to be fronted with county dollars for
right.
sure. Before we could move forward, which is why we took that off the table when we had to make cuts.
Ron, what is shift planning software?
We've been looking at some software that will help us schedule our staff. It will also help us know what it's costing us to run each site. And that's something that Medicaid requires from us.
Okay.
To report that this site costs us so much per day. And right now we can do that, but it takes a lot of work on Kim's part and our part. This software would tell us automatically, even with overtime and holiday pay, and all that included.
What it's cost us each site.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, what I'm hearing is the same thing we've said all the way through this is, these are mental health funds. We can make it work if the state comes through with the equalization. And if they don't, we're going to have to go through all of this with a red pen.
Game changer.
And
all the
yeah,
way around.
Absolutely. And I want to compliment. I mean, you know, we started with a budget last year at this time of almost $4.9 million, and this year you're presenting a budget that's just over $4 million. A lot of hard work by a lot of people, I'm sure, but specifically the three of you, and I'm really, really appreciative. And the real beauty to me is I don't think there's been that much that's happened to this point that our clients have noticed. And that's my big fear is when I feel bad for your lives being tough, but I really start to feel bad when it starts impacting our clients.
Me too. Some of the changes that we've made that are reflected, and they've been primarily staff changes, are painful.
Yeah, it is.
Really, really makes it hard to make sure all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. But until the dust really settles, some of that will need to come back because there's just no way to maintain that pace.
It will need to come back if it's allowed to come back.
If it's allowed to come back.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. But for now, it makes no sense moving forward to not continue to reflect this, because why would we hire people back only to think?
Yeah. No, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, Gayla, but I'm starting to subscribe to some of the theories that I've heard you talk about before. There's an ulterior motive going on right now to really let this thing crash and burn in some ways so that the state can swoop in and pick it up. And I am aware that I'm still being recorded. I am starting to really believe that somewhere in the hierarchy there have been decisions like this made, and the way to handle that is by continually setting us up and then pulling the rug out from under us. And that's where I'm afraid we're headed right now. But I don't have a better method other than just saying, okay, this is the best we know.
Since this is being recorded, I just want to go on record that I'm not advocating that people live off the grid or do anything, you know, like survivalist sort of stuff. But I think a small Scotia paranoia serves us well, just to be planful. So, yeah, I don't understand some of the decisions that have been made. And I think that's what is most off-putting with being able to move forward. If there was a clear understanding, that would make it a lot easier.
Okay. So my first question for the three of you is, if the state fulfills its pseudo-promise of equalization to 4728, does the mental health budget that's been presented here, can the county live for FY 14 with that?
Happens, I think we'll be
okay. That doesn't even get us to how we get through the first 3 months, because I'm having trouble finding a way that we're going to have any dollars at all left in the mental health fund to float the first 3 months.
Yeah, my math is that we'll have $7,340.
The good?
Yes, and that assumes pay.
Yes.
That assumes. The state bills.
That assumes the $11 million Plan 1
and
from
$11 million. Oh.
$700,000 for us.
$11 million
plan that the state put out.
That the state put out and then said, no, we don't want to do. And then Governor Branstad came out and said $3 million.
But the reality of that was the Mental Health Commission, I mean, they really stepped up.
Well, they're saying $20 million.
Yeah, but they stepped up to the plate at that meeting that I sat in on that, because DHS, when they were asked to justify how they came up with only allocating, you know, what they had allocated to the three counties, you know, they really hammered them long and hard, and they kept going back to that option one and start looking at what it would do to all the different counties. And that's where Deb, I think, really made a tremendous impact in her testimony to them. And also there was the other gal who serves on the commission who is from Eastern Iowa. I can't think of her name. But it was because of their effort, the commission, I think, that really got DHS in a position that they felt like if that recommendation had have gone forward, that there was no way their recommendation was going to go forward by the commission. And it started the whole, Hatch was there, and it started several of the other legislators starting to question how they arrived at their final deliberation. And that's where option one really began to sink in with more and more people around the table. And then I think more and more legislators start taking a look at that and start realizing, while we couldn't recover all we had asked for, but it was certainly better than what we would have gotten under any of the other plan scenarios.
I think that Deb and I discussed this yesterday at our McTeam report. If we did, and I'm just spacing it off, you can tell me shut up, but at the Legislative Interim Committee meeting last Friday, Senator Bolcom put forth a motion to that committee that at a minimum, DHS look at using scenario one, which was the one that brings everybody back to zero, the $11 million option, and also ask for additional information on whether or not those numbers were actually realistic because of the fact that they had $20 million from the CHIP dollars earmarked to come into that. There was a lot of talk from them and to Director Palmer that those dollars should be going back into this, as well as possibly other dollars, because one of the other things that they really had a hard time swallowing was that the only people who were really allowed to apply were people who we're going to have a negative ending fund balance. Mm-hmm. That takes out people like Polk County that was going to have a 1% ending fund balance. Well, it's not much you can do with a 1%. And so there was a lot of reality talk around that table of, you go back, at a minimum, we want to see option one. I know that's at loggerheads with what Governor Branstad suggested today. So it's going to be the rock up the hill deal again. But I felt better leaving the meeting on Friday, that was the direction, and it was very much bipartisan.
I felt better Friday, and then I felt worse last night.
Right. Well, keep your ears open, because at the end of the State of the Union speech that was rebroadcast, I was listening to the panelists and everybody that was talking, and somehow they came up with a $30 million has been proposed
to address the mental health issues.
And it was never mentioned anyplace else. And so there is either legislators talking about it or some interim committee that is talking about whether there's $30 million available. Because remember, initially when the request came in from all the counties that applied for the transition funds, they were estimating around $32 million would be needed to fund that. So, you know, we weren't quite there, but it was better than nothing. So,
yeah. Well, you could see there from there, from where they were, you know.
So we're going to have to keep pushing. I'm planning on going to the commission meeting tomorrow, too, just to make sure that I can speak up. Deb does an outstanding job. I'm really, really glad she's on that. that I think sometimes having providers or others, or just like at the interim committee, I think the more voices they hear and the more real it is.
What time is that tomorrow?
It starts at 9, and I thought about going by there, but I'm supposed I have a 10. I'm going to the State House first at 7:30 and get the contract signed. Then I'm going, and I've got a 10:45 meeting at Herta.
Yeah, I've got an Aging Resources down in Des Moines at 9, and so maybe I'll just try to swing by after my Aging Resources. And
the Child Serve, which is on Merle Hay Road, as you go north toward Johnston. Where they meet in the back,
West Side Street.
Yeah. How long would you expect that to go tomorrow?
It's scheduled from 9 until 3, and I haven't seen the agenda, so I don't know what's going to be discussed when.
I have a copy of the agenda. You didn't have a copy of it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I just know, I know that there are some counties coming to talk about discontinuing services, eliminating services.
Right. That could take longer. Yeah.
That will be a real interesting discussion because some of those counties are trying to do that in anticipation of funds not being there. And these are counties that actually have a positive ending fund balance, Woodbury County, for instance. But sometimes some of the things maybe they get proposed from... Not everybody has the same philosophy or the same viewpoint on how they want to approach things. So I think that there'll be quite a bit of discussion around that because there have been several counties with a positive ending fund balance who have gone ahead and denied service requests, et cetera, and are now coming back to the commission to amend their managed care plan. So that's actually backward.
You shouldn't deny service before you amend your plan.
Several things I think that'll be pointed out.
Okay, well, I'll try to get by there depending on how long my aging resource.
If you do, Chair.
Yeah.
Well, you can cut a chart.
You guys know me.
Oh, Joe, quit burning the bridges. Trees, rather.
Anything else for us? I think the point I was trying to make that got us off on that conversation is we're going to have to look at cash flowing this thing the first 3 months of the year, how we get there, and we just need to be cognizant of that as we wind down FY13 and move into FY14. Okay? Thank you, guys.
Thank you, folks. We'll do what we can do.
All you can do.
Stops. I got to meet.
Okay. Hopefully we'll get back more expeditiously than we got here.
Yeah. I'm being where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd I do it at? In my magic pen? Pencil? You know, medical care is one of those line items that we just have there,
mm-hmm.
just in case. I went ahead and took 4,000. I'm re-estimating. Okay.
Oh, re-estimate. Okay. So
okay.
You left it in.
Yeah. Next year I'm not touching at this mm-hmm. point, but I'm re-estimating medical care for this year down. And this is just for tax or cash flow purposes.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just saying we're halfway through the year. Let's look at what do we think we're going to spend.
Where do we really think we can?
And I don't think we'll I think I'll put that down to 10 for medicines. 3 for advertisements. You know, the advertisements have gone down substantially if we do it online.
We do most of it online.
Yeah. I don't remember, and I'm going to ask Cal if he knows, but I don't remember what they said they were going to spend in these two line items, but we're only at 6,800 there, so I don't think we'll spend more than 30 on administration building maintenance.
I wouldn't think so.
And
unless something big breaks.
Right, and group home maintenance, I re-estimated down by 10 to 55.7. Once again, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took 2,000 out of garbage service because it looks like we're on to just do 4,300. So I took out 45.6 in this year's re-estimation.
Actually, the garbage. I'll have to show you my picture of my grandson, Keith's daughter.
Yeah, here.
mm-hmm. Hmm. I don't either, Lisa. I'm guessing that this might pop up a bit because we had to get dumpsters and things after we had the bed bug deal.
Oh.
So I'm just thinking right
might,
here for right now.
Yeah.
That might actually be up a bit.
Okay.
But,
all right. Well, my best swag right now is putting 45.6 in the fund balance.
Didn't that stuff in your chair?
That's why, you know, now's a good time to.
And I haven't seen you, Rick, forever at Starbucks.
Haven't spent much more than $2,500.
I guess I don't hold. I'm more of a winter time when they had that caramel brulee. I really don't need.
And I have taken you out of here for next year.
Once a month doesn't hurt.
I think I've I can't. My reestimated is, I don't know if it's just a double. I must have taken you out of that. 1,298.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure I have flex benefits right for next year.
Okay.
Decided to mail all W-2s so you guys don't have to worry about trying to deliver them to everybody. We're mailing everybody, so we're not going to mess with it.